Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabe sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash, perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Tony Bruschi. Today we're going to dig into one of the most pressing questions about the Delphi murder case. Why was Ron Logan, a man whose property was the site of Abby Williams and Liberty German's brutal murders, overlooked by the investigators? We're going to go through the probable cause affidavit, his sworn testimony, and more in detail, like word for word. We are going through those affidavits on this podcast. Even more troubling about this is, why did those same investigators who were working with limited resources seem to distance themselves from the FBI and the wealth of evidence the federal agency compiled in Logan's probable cause affidavit? This is straight from the FBI. This is not from Delphi police. This is big information. When you have the FBI with you, you have a lot more resources, far more than little Delphi had. But nope, we're good. We don't care what you came up with. We're going to try and figure this out on our own. This isn't about conjecture or speculation. It's about facts. The FBI's affidavit lays out a detailed and chilling account of why Ron Logan should have been a prime suspect. From his proximity to the crime scene, to his fabricated alibi, and even his eerie physical and vocal similarities to the infamous bridge guy captured on Libby's phone. Despite all this, local authorities shifted their focus away from Logan, leaving us to wonder if critical opportunities to solve this case were missed. And was it done intentionally? Today, we're going to guide you through the affidavit in its entirety, dissecting the evidence and asking the hard questions. Could the investigation have been mishandled? I'm going to go with a solid yes on that. Were jurisdictional tensions a factor? And most importantly, did these missteps delay justice for Abby and Libby? Stay with us as we lay out the facts, because this is a story that demands accountability and transparency. All right, you ready? Ready to dive into the affidavit that could and perhaps should have changed everything. Here it is, the text of Ron Logan's sworn affidavit, probable cause, and authorization of search and seizure. Here we go. Probable cause affidavit. I'm going straight down the document. I, Nicole Robertson, am a special agent with the Federal Bureau of Investigation and have been employed as such for 12 years. Prior to employment as an FBI agent, Nicole Robertson was employed as a South Village, Illinois police officer for approximately 6 years. Nicole Robertson is assigned to the Maryville Resident Agency and currently participates in the investigation of all violent crimes. Background 1. Let me take a sip. This is going to be long. Here we go. On February 13th, 2017, at approximately 1 p.m., juvenile victims, hereafter referred to as LG and AW, were taken to the Monon High Bridge Trail located in Delphi, Indiana. LG and AW were walking the trail in the area of County Road 300 North and 575 West near latitude 40-35 degrees, 21.4 degrees, longitude 86-38 degrees, 23.3 degrees at approximately 2:13 p.m., which was the time of the last contact with LG and AW by cellular device. The victims were picked up by a family member at 3 p.m. The victims never met with that family member. They were to be picked up, I should say, by a family member, but they never made it. At approximately 5:30 p.m. was the last successful ping of the cellular phone by AT&T. The victims LG and AW were located deceased on February 14, 2017 at approximately 12:17 p.m. at the above-listed latitude and longitude, having been the victims of murder in accordance with Indiana Code 3542-11. 2. The suspect has been developed of a white male wearing a blue jacket with a heavy physical build, wearing a cap and blue jeans. This development of the suspect was made by a 43-second video taken on LG's phone, where the suspect follows the victims as they're walking on the Monon High Bridge Trail. Near the end of the video, the suspect speaks to the victim, saying, "Down the hill." It sounds as though he is directing the victims to leave the trail they were on and enter the wooded area below. No person has come forward and identified himself as the person who met the victims and made the statement in LG's video. Therefore, it's believed that the person in LG's video participated in the killings. Images of the suspect have been broadcast on the news media since February 15, 2017, as a person of interest. 3. LG and AW are presumed to have made contact with the unknown male at approximately 2:13 p.m. based upon analysis of LG's cell phone, which recorded the video. 4. On February 14, 2017, at approximately 12:17 p.m., victims LG and AW were found dead with wounds caused by a weapon on the property owned by Ronald Logan. A large amount of blood was lost by the victims at the crime scene. Because of the nature of the victim's wounds, it is nearly certain the perimeter of the crime scene would have gotten blood on his person or clothing. The location of the crime scene is approximately 1,400 feet from Logan's residence. 5. Logan is a 77-year-old male. Logan's physical build is consistent with that of the male suspect videoed by LG on the Monon High Bridge Trail. Logan owns farmland and cares for large farm animals. Logan appears to be in good physical condition. Logan has been interviewed several times. His voice is not inconsistent with that of the person in the video. I want to say this for a second, because one of the allegations towards the investigators in Delphi of why they didn't pursue Ron Logan was because, oh, he's too old. He's caring for large farm animals. We're talking about two young girls. If you can handle a cow, you can probably handle these two. I digress. Six. It was also discovered that the articles of clothing, one of them, the victims, were missing from the crime scene, while the rest of the clothing was recovered. It also appeared the girls' bodies were moved and staged based upon my training and experience. It's common for perpetrators of this type of a crime to take a souvenir or in some fashion memorialize the crime scene, whether by photos or electronic or digital methods that are then downloaded onto computers, storage devices, tablets, phones, iPads, devices, or other electronic devices that store digital data for later viewing, scanning, or copying. 7. LG and AW had no visible signs of struggle or fight. 8. During the processing of the crime scene, investigators located unknown fibers and unidentified hairs, which may later be used for comparison of similar fibers or hairs. Keep in mind, they didn't do that with Ron Logan. 9. Logan owns numerous weapons, including handguns and knives that were observed by LEOs during the execution of the search warrant that took place at his home on March 6 of 2017. Logan's home was searched as a result of a probation violation. The search was limited to the discovery of firearms and included only his main residence. So they weren't going to his house to search for clothing, fibers, and things that may relate to the death of the girls. No, it was a probation violation from a traffic incident that they went in there to discover weapons and such, which he was not allowed to have, which is why he ended up in jail. And when you go in with a warrant, that warrant specifically says what you can be looking for. Notice on that warrant was nothing to do with fibers or things that may be related to the girls. Maybe the weapons, but they weren't shot. 10. As we continue on in this. On February 14th, 2017, at approximately 9:20 a.m., Logan contacted Redacted Mail 1. Logan asked Redacted Mail 1 to tell police Redacted Mail 1 came to Logan's home between 2 p.m. and 2:30 p.m. on February 13th, 2017 to pick Logan up. Logan further told Redacted Mail 1 to say that Redacted Mail 1 drove Logan to an aquarium store in Lafayette, Indiana. Logan told Redacted Mail 1 to say they returned home to Logan's house between 5 and 5:30 p.m. Kind of strange to need to have an alibi if you had nothing to do with this. 11. On February 14th, 2017, while requesting consent to search Logan's property, a law enforcement officer advised Logan that LEOs would not search his home unless evidence led LEOs to Logan's house. In that meeting, Logan told the LEO that he did not think evidence would lead him or lead them to that, but he said, "I don't know." It's a weird statement to make. You have nothing to do with the crime, but you're like, "I don't know." No, the answer is no. If you did not do anything, there would be no evidence at your home to lead you to a crime scene or connect you to a crime scene. There's fibers on your jacket or on you or your person, whatever, and it happens to kind of be the same stuff on the murder victims. That doesn't look good. But he doesn't know. 12. A receipt from Aquarium World in Lafayette dated February 13th, 2017 with a checkout time of 5:21 p.m. was found in Logan's home on March 6, 2017 during a probation violation search. Logan resides approximately 22 miles from the store. It would take approximately 30 minutes to get to the store from Logan's home. 13. On March 6, 2017, during an interview with an LEO, Logan said he was picked up by Redacted Mail 1 around 3 p.m. and taken straight to the aquarium store in Lafayette. In the March 6, 2017 interview, Logan said after he was done at the aquarium store, he was driven straight home. These statements are found to be factually false and intentionally designed to deceive law enforcement officers. 14. On March 7th of 2017, Redacted Mail 1 was interviewed by LEO, law enforcement officers. Redacted Mail 1 tells law enforcement that he was with Logan on Monday, February 13th, 2017, and that Redacted Mail 1 drove Logan to the aquarium store in Lafayette. On March 9th of 2017, Redacted Mail 1 was interviewed by another law enforcement officer regarding the trip to the aquarium. Redacted Mail 1 tells law enforcement that he had lied when he was interviewed by law enforcement on March 7th, 2017, upon Logan's request. Nothing suspicious here. If you're a law enforcement officer in Delphi, this doesn't look weird or anything. Maybe we should investigate this. This guy has a fake alibi. He's making stories up. He kind of looks like the guy on the bridge. It's not him. Can't be him. Who does Ron Logan know that someone would be trying to cover for him? That's a good question. Or is there anything here? Is this just bad police work from moment one? Let's continue on. Redacted Mail 1, like I said, tells law enforcement that he had lied when he was interviewed by law enforcement on March 7th of 2017. Logan's request. Redacted Mail 1 explained that Logan had never asked Redacted Mail 1 to lie for him in the past. Redacted Mail 1 knows that Logan had driven his vehicle while on probation and is prohibited from doing so. Redacted Mail 1 also said that Logan did not ask him to live for Logan when Logan drove to the transfer station in the day. I believe it's supposed to say lie for Logan when Logan drove to the transfer station earlier in the day. But we are reading this verbatim. 15. On March 12, 2017, Redacted Mail 1 explained in an interview with law enforcement that Logan called him on the morning of February 14th, 2017 and asked him to provide the alibi for Logan's drive to the aquarium in Lafayette. This phone call was made prior to law enforcement's discovery of LG and AW's deceased bodies. He's asking for an alibi, asking for a friend to provide an alibi for a murder that no one knows was even committed yet. Not suspicious at all from the man who bashed his girlfriend over the head with a wrench. Nah, he's a good guy. Based on investigators' experience, it is reasonable to believe that the creation of an alibi prior to the discovery of a crime indicates culpability or knowledge of the crime. You think? 16. Redacted Mail 1 said he thought the photograph of the mail that was released by the media of the man on the bridge looked like Logan. 17. Law enforcement learned that Logan had driven on February 13, 2017 to the transfer station in Delphi, Indiana to drop off trash. Not supposed to be driving. What are you dropping off? Video from the transfer station shows Logan driving his white Ford pickup truck between 11:27 a.m. and 11:32 a.m. The video from the transfer station appears to be off by 26 minutes, putting Logan at the transfer station at approximately 11:53 a.m. and 11:58 a.m. 18. Logan did not ask, Redacted Mail 1, provide an alibi for his drive to the transfer station on February 13th of 2017. Logan only asked Redacted Mail 1 to provide an alibi for a trip that would have occurred at the time of the apparent abduction of LG and AW. 19. On February 8th, Redacted Female 1 was interviewed by law enforcement. Redacted Female 1 met Logan about 7 or 8 years ago. Redacted Female 1 was in a personal relationship with Logan for a couple of months and would stay with him in his home on the weekend. Redacted Female 1 left Logan after he became physically abusive. During her interview, Redacted Female 1 explained that Logan continued to stalk and harass Redacted Female 1 after their breakup. You know, like healthy people do. During the relationship, Logan had dragged Redacted Female One out of her car by her hair. Redacted Female One still fears Logan. Redacted Female One has not had contact with Logan in approximately 2 years. Redacted Female One told interviewers that Logan had told her in the past that he could kill her and no one would find her body. 20. During her March 18th, 2017 interview, Redacted Female One said that she knew Logan carried a gun everywhere he went. Redacted Female One knew that Logan would carry a gun and a fanny pack. Redacted Female One described Logan's fanny pack as one made out of a nicer material. 21. During her March 8th, 2017 interview, Redacted Female One told law enforcement officers that she first saw the photograph of the man on the bridge. She thought the police were looking for Logan because she thought the photograph was Logan. She didn't even know that they didn't know who it was. She just looked at him and went, "That's Logan. That's my old boyfriend who pulled me by my hair out of the car and smashed my head in with a wrench where I had to get 7 staples in. That lovely guy." Redacted Female One did not initially realize that the photograph was that of the suspect. 22. A call placed using Logan's cell phone produced cell tower data. This shows Logan's cell phone appears to be in or around his property on February 13, 2017 at 2:09 p.m., although his exact location cannot be confirmed. The tower data shows that Logan's cell phone was in the Delphi area, in the area of the Monon High Bridge Trail! I've seen cases. There's more evidence here than there ever was against Richard Allen. You got a bullet that could have been in a gun that he owned. And that's it. Could have been. No real forensic evidence to really, truly say that's a sure thing. After you had 30, 40, 50 some officers trampling around the area with the same type of bullets. That could have been one of theirs. Could it have not? And Richard Allen is the one who raised his hand and said, "How can I help? I was hiking that day. How can I help?" All of this. Bridge guy. Ron Logan. Bridge guy. Ron Logan. It's nothing. Nothing to see here. 23. An analysis of Logan's cell phone data revealed a text message sent from his phone at 7:56 p.m. on February 13th. Of 2017. The initial exam of the analysis indicates Logan's phone was likely outside of his residence and in the proximity of where LG and AW's bodies were located. Again, nothing to see here. La, 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 I'm a Delphi investigator. I don't want to hear any of it. FBI bad. What the hell's going on? Is it, it really makes you wonder, is this, they wanted to be the ones to get the guy and not the FBI, so we're going to let our Keystone cops go after this because that worked out well. We're living in a bizarro world here where this exists as an FBI document and they convicted somebody else who has little to nothing that points to him being there. 24. An analysis of Logan's cell phone data revealed a text message received by his phone at 10:16 p.m. on February 13th, 2017. The initial exam of this analysis indicates Logan's phone was likely outside of his residence and in the proximity of where LG and AW's bodies were located. Shocking. 25. Logan met with law enforcement officers on or about February 17th, 2017. While they were on his property, Logan was physically able to get up and down the hill from his home to the crime scene. Keep in mind, he works with large farm animals on a daily basis. He's 77. He's maybe not your grandfather's 77 if he's not in the greatest shape, but some people are. You know, a lot of farmers that age, and they still get around with the best of them. And it appears Ron Logan was one of those guys. 26. On March 14th, 2017, Logan's former housemate, Redacted Female 2, was interviewed. Redacted Female 2 resided with Logan from about September 2016 through December of 2016. Redacted Female 2 was in a sexual relationship with Logan on off for approximately 3 years. During the interviews with law enforcement officers, Redacted Female 2 said, when she first learned that AW and LG were missing and then found dead near Logan's home, her initial thought was that Logan was involved. Let me ask you this. How many times have you been in a situation where there's a horrible crime? Somebody goes missing in your town or nearby. People are found murdered. And your first reaction is, it's probably my ex. I mean, some of us may do that satirically and go, not surprised. But how often is that truly the reaction one gives? That says something. Redacted Female 2 said in her interview that she feared Logan and even previously told her baby's father, if she ever ended up dead, Logan did it. 27. On March 14th, 2017, Redacted Female 2 explained in her interview that Logan had been violent with her in the past. Redacted Female 2 explained that on July 4th, 2016, while at Logan's home, Logan punched her in the face, knocking her down. Redacted Female 2 explained that she was drinking, but Logan was completely sober during the incident. He's just like it naturally. What a dreamy guy. Redacted Female 2 also explained that Logan was angry because she disrespected Logan and Logan's home. 28. On February 13th, 2017, LG's family began searching the area of the trail where LG and AW were initially dropped off. Beginning shortly after 3 p.m., LG's family and other community members joined the search. Shortly thereafter, Carroll County Sheriff's Office was notified at approximately 5:30 p.m. that LG and AW were missing. Once the search for LG and AW began, no one reported seeing any person matching the description of the man on the bridge. 29. The FBI has established a database for the collection and organization of tips provided by the public in this case. Remember the argument that was made for local Delphi authorities as to why it was so hard to find that person? There's just too many tips, too many leads coming in. The FBI was right there saying, we got you. We're going to help you. We're good. We're good. A search of the database has revealed 15 tips in which citizens, both known and anonymous, attributed to the crime to Logan for various reasons. 30. Based on the above aforementioned facts, Logan was in the area at the time the crime occurred, and that he had provided false information about his activities during the crime to law enforcement and has a prior propensity for violence. Employed others to assist in deceiving law enforcement and plotted an alibi for a crime that had not yet been discovered. Information to be searched and items to be seized. 1. Based on the aforementioned facts, I believe there is probable cause to believe that Ronald Logan has committed the crime of murder, and evidence of that could be found on Ronald Logan's property. 2. The affiant requests a warrant to search Ronald Logan's entire property, described as a white two-story single-family dwelling, including his detached garage, outbuildings, and vehicle, a white Ford F-250 bearing a VIN number, redacted, for evidence related to the murders of LG and AW for the following property. 3. Any and all evidence pertaining to a murder, including clothing, forensic evidence, blood seen and unseen hair, bodily fluid seen and unseen, fibers, weapons, including guns and cutting instruments, electronic devices used to produce the cellular signals detected by law enforcement in the area of the crime scene. 4. Computer and computer equipment, digital storage devices, tapes, cassettes, cartridges, streaming tape, commercial software, and hardware, computer disks, flash drives, disk drives, monitors, computer printers, monitor modems, tape drives, this application, program, data disk, system disk, operating systems. They basically go over anything that they can possibly get relating to computer devices. Digital cameras, scanners, in addition to computer photographs, graphic interchange formats. Basically, they list anything and everything that could possibly be in that home related to digital storage so they can get it and take a look at it. Five, records, documents, writings, and correspondence containing information about the crime scene and any individual involved in the crime. Six, any and all tablets, phones, iPads, devices, and all other electronic devices which may contain digital data. Seven, any and all computer data, including but not limited to photographs, videos, documents, emails, sound files, which may contain evidence of the violations of the criminal statutes listed in the beginning of this affidavit. I affirm under penalty of perjury, as specified in LC 3544-121, that the foregoing representations are true, dated the 17th day of March, 2017. Signed, Nicole Robertson, FBI. So, now that we've gone through the FBI's affidavit in detail, the questions become even harder to ignore. Why did local investigators sideline such compelling evidence? Why wasn't Ron Logan's fabricated alibi, proximity to the crime scene, and disturbing behavioral history enough to make him the central focus of the investigation? The answers are unsettling. Perhaps the immense pressure to solve the case led investigators to focus on leads that seem more immediate. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You had this guy in 2017. It was many years later that you went after Richard Allen. Maybe jurisdictional conflicts between local authorities and the FBI created a fractured approach to the investigation. Maybe. Not an excuse for not looking at this profound evidence. Or it could have been the lack of definitive physical evidence that caused Logan's candidacy as a suspect to be deprioritized. Regardless of the reasons, the results remain the same. Justice for Abby and Libby has been delayed. And the community is left to grapple with what feels like an incomplete story. Now, that affidavit for that search of Ron Logan's property, it happened. It happened. They did all that. They went in. They took. What happened then? Well, all that information was never made public. The FBI search of Ron Logan's property in March of 2017 was a collaborative effort with law enforcement agencies, including the Indiana State Police and the Carroll County Sheriff's Office. The evidence collected during this search was then shared amongst the joint agencies as part of the joint investigation into the murders of Abby Williams and Liberty German. Despite the information gathered, including Logan's fabricated alibi and his proximity to the crime scene, authorities did not find sufficient evidence to charge him in connection to the murders. Local authorities did not. Why? Because they kicked the FBI off the case. They had all the information. They went into Logan's house. They got everything they wanted. And you can say, great, now that's gonna lead to charges, or at least lead to some answers. Yes or no? Doesn't lead to anything if you don't test the materials. You don't investigate the materials. You don't really consider it much of evidence because you're going to say, eh, we're going to go with this guy over here. We don't think there's enough on Ron Logan. Not enough there. So we're going to go somewhere else with it. But it's going to take us years to get anywhere near it. And it's not like we're like sitting here investigating Richard Allen for all those years. No, that kind of comes really quick when they're kind of in a corner going, we got to get somebody for this all these years later. How about this guy? The guy who raised his hand and said, hey, how can I help? You know, the guy that works at CVS to get the prescriptions from and stuff? Yeah, him. Now, he seems like a likely suspect. No criminal history. Data, too. Married. Doesn't live near the crime scene. Consequently, the investigation to continue to explore other leads because it was taken over locally, ultimately leading to the arrest and conviction of Richard Allen in 2024. Because that makes sense on this timeline, right? Whole list of stuff pointing at Ron Logan. FBI gets kicked off the case. Local investigators who have all of the information just don't do anything with it. They were able to just hold it off to the side, not do anything. Let's go over this guy. Maybe we can kind of pigeonhole this here. Ron Logan's dead. He died in 2022, January. So what's happening here? Is Ron Logan the bridge guy? I don't know. I mean, if I were to take a wild guess, I'd probably say yes. Let's make it more of an educated guess, actually. Did Richard Allen have anything to do with this? I don't know. But he certainly did not receive a fair trial when you have this mountain of evidence over here and we're not even going to explore it. We're not going to introduce any of this into the trial. The jury heard none of this in the trial of Richard Allen. But it's all out there. It's all real. It's true. It happened. It's like asking a group of people to make a really good decision on something. But we're only going to give you like half of the information you need to make that good decision. It's like walking into the end of a movie and then trying to figure out what happened at the beginning. We want justice for those two little girls. And if Richard Allen is guilty, then he should be in prison. But I don't think we know in any way for sure that he is guilty. Hopefully justice will eventually be served. Hopefully more sensible minds come into play here in the appellate court process. And Richard Allen actually gets a fair trial where all the evidence can be laid out. And then a jury can truly decide if, beyond a reasonable doubt, Richard Allen is guilty or innocent. Based on everything we just heard here, reasonable doubt doesn't even come close to describe the doubt that Richard Allen had anything to do with the murders of those two little girls in Delphi, Indiana, in 2017.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
The Delphi case has taken yet another turn, and it's not just about legal motions and missing evidence this time. Well, it actually is kind of about missing evidence. It's part of it. It's about psychology. It's about behavior and the human mind behind all of it, or possibly minds. With an S, plural. With Ron Logan's alleged confession, the eerie behavior of Keegan Klein, yes, he's now been brought back into the fold with new allegations, and a prosecution that seemingly ignored key evidence, this case raises serious psychological questions about guilt, deception, I'd say desperation as well, and the power of manipulation. Today we are joined by psychotherapist Siobhan Scott to help us understand what's really going on inside the minds of some of the key players in this case. And Siobhan, let's start here. We do often see, do we see confessions, whether true or false, being ignored by law enforcement? And what does it say about the psychology, both of the suspect and the investigators, when something this significant is just basically swept under the rug all those years ago?
Yeah, the whole thing is just a muddle. If we're looking at false confessions, and I'm guessing that's what they believed this was. I mean, maybe not. But false confessions happen because of psychosis, which is what we can speculate Richard Allen's confessions were, because he was clearly psychotic. And so a psychotic confession should not be considered a confession. You're looking at coercion, and clearly Ricky Davis, the person who's saying he heard Ron Logan's confession, was not in a situation where he was being coerced by anyone to say this. Attention seeking, could he have been making it up? And then looking at, does this person who's reporting the confession, does the person have credibility? And in this case, I think, you know, certainly it would be reasonable to say that Ricky Davis's credibility could be questioned. He had decades a criminal history, a long rap sheet with everything from running a meth lab to burglary, forgery, theft, auto theft, counterfeiting. So was this examined? Was this looked at? And does he have a history of making things up? And then they just threw it out because they said the guy's, you know, not credible. But the fact that it wasn't disclosed, I think, is the problem here.
Yeah, that's what the defense of Richard Allen is going after here. How could you not disclose these seven letters that were allegedly sent to McLelland, which is the prosecution or the defense? I'm sorry, the prosecution of Richard Allen, a videotaped interview as well, and Ricky Davis, if you're just beginning to play along here, he was an inmate that had spent time with Ron Logan in prison and Keegan Klein as well, and he, back in 2017, because time is important in this story, all the way back in 2017, says that he started reaching out to authorities saying, hey, look, this guy, Ron Logan, who's in my cell with me, just confessed to these murders, and here's what he told me. And the authorities, the investigators said, oh, well, tell us, but you have to tell us in two paragraphs or less, which I think, number one, that's bizarre. Like, keep it simple. Like, if you're trying to get details, I think you'd want any details you're going to get. So he writes a two-paragraph letter. And they start going after him, saying he's lying. They claim they did a polygraph on him. And I find it interesting the verbiage that they use anytime this is brought up. It's, he miserably failed it. Okay, when was the polygraph administered? Who administered it? What circumstances? What was asked? Because none of that seems to be out there. I kind of doubt if they even did do the polygraph, or if they did, again, consider the source. It's the same people who seem to be the fail stop for any other information getting out or anybody investigating anything other than Richard Allen at a certain point in this case. So I'm not shocked if they were the ones who administered it and they're saying nothing came out of it. But again, let's talk about back to Ricky and his incentive to do something like this. He wasn't asking for anything extra. He wasn't asking for leniency or lesser time or anything. And if anything, he's putting himself in danger by basically being a snitch in prison. And that's not looked upon too lightly quite often.
Yeah. So, you know, possibilities. I mean, it could be he's entirely telling the truth with altruistic motives, and you can be somebody who runs a meth lab and does other horrible things and still tell the truth at times. So that's possible. Is it possible that he has a history of attention seeking and, you know, prison is kind of boring and does he do this sort of thing? So was there a pattern of you know, making things up? You know, I don't know. We don't have all the information. And as you say, it can certainly be questionable.
What does it say to you about his previous charges? Because this is a guy who, and I'm not trying to like lessen the significance or the seriousness of his charges, you know, running a meth lab and distributing and all that and getting 50 years is a pretty serious charge. But it's also not murdering children. And his track record doesn't seem to involve anything to do with harming human beings, I guess, directly in the way that we would think of a murder or something of that. You're making meth, yeah, you're going to harm people. But we could argue the cigarette and the alcohol industry are the same way, too. They're commercial. There seems to be, at least for me, a difference in maybe that human being and their level of empathy. People who are able to go and harm children and harm other living people, like that's something where like that's in you and that's not going to come out of you if you're capable of doing that. If you're making meth and you're doing all sorts of robbery and horrible shit like that, yes, you're harming people, but you're not doing it in that direct sort of way. And you really, would you not expect a maybe more humanistic aspects, more empathy, more someone who is capable of having, you know, care and understanding for other people and wanting to see the right thing done, especially when it comes to kids?
It is certainly possible. It is certainly possible. But it just, I mean, I couldn't call it either way. I would have to sit down with him and talk to the guy and try to determine what is his motivation here. As you say, it sort of goes against the prison code to be a snitch. So what was driving him? And I don't think we can really peg that without spending some time talking to him.
How accurate do we typically see prison confessions being? And this is a different one, because this is being a snitch, basically. It's not that Ron Logan allegedly made this confession to guards or to anybody. It's alleging that it came through his cellmate here, Ricky Davis. Is it common when someone reports a confession was made for this sort of thing to be, you know, completely ignored? Or is this something that they usually do look into a little bit more to make sure, especially at the time in 2017, they have no Richard Allen, they have no main suspect. The FBI is already strongly looking in to Ron Logan. They're already like going through his property and making a case against Ron Logan. And you have this guy saying, hey, he just confessed. Why just stop at the polygraph, which it's not even admissible in court? Why would you not dig into this a little bit further?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question, and I don't have an answer for it. How often does it happen? I'm going to guess that it's different in every prison, and we like to think that, you know, people running prisons have ethics and take these kind of things seriously and do look into it. Maybe, maybe not. And it's, you know, it's a huge, huge, messy topic, and I don't know how we can even get data on it. But I'm sure it happens.
Do you think we're looking at a case here of like just the most curious case of coincidences coming one after another to make this thing look so much like a cover-up, which it may be? Or is this a case where people really, really have their blinders on? And again, the thing is, there wasn't a time for blinders yet in this case in 2017. There wasn't a Richard Allen. There was nobody on their radar. So I guess you have blinders on to, well, it can't be over here if that's what we're talking about with blinders. But is that what we might be looking at? Is it a case where we have investigators so bent on one direction of it? I'm already excluding these people over here without really a whole lot of evidence, and I'm going to go this way. I mean, that I'm sure does happen, but how does that happen? And why does that happen in one's mind to be able to completely exclude a lot of valid things? Because I think a lot of us are just trying to understand, look, if there's nothing nefarious going on here, what the hell was going on in your mind?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a puzzle. It's strange. One would think that, you know, the search for the truth takes, you know, the top priority. Does it always? Again, humans have biases and confirmation bias. Sometimes when they've already got one idea in mind, they look for things that prove that idea. And then the other thing about Ricky Davis is he also revealed information about Keegan Klein.
Yeah.
And so here are two, you know, potential suspects that this one person had contact with in the same prison and then is now disclosing information about both of them that casts blame that way. So is it a case of throwing spaghetti at the wall by the defense? You know, we've got all these different possibilities, the lack of transparency on the other side, and it's really muddled.
The allegations that are coming through from the inmate here, from Ricky Davis, involving Keegan Klein, and I'm just going to paraphrase here, but the whole affidavit can be read or can be listened to on the channel. It basically get down to saying that Keegan Klein and Ron Logan were engaging in looking at child pornography and sharing it with one another back and forth, like their little ring of it, and that this would be done on a semi-regular basis. But one of them Keegan had to go there and help Ron Logan with this because he's older and was kind of inept at using technology. disturbing, 1,000%. And obviously, this is, again, just the allegations of an inmate, but Klein is in prison now for exactly that, for child pornography. And he's the guy who was also supposed to be meeting one of the girls that very day, had allegedly been communicating with her through a version of social media. That, to me, of everything here, is shocking that that would be a coincidence. That the person that you're supposed to be meeting gets murdered that day, you're a predator, and somehow you're not involved in that. I find that one so hard to believe.
Yeah, it's weird. And then when you throw in Logan and Klein having a connection around pornography, it's just really, really odd.
Then it makes you wonder how far does this go up the chain? And it's not like, you know, Keegan Klein and Ron Logan were like really high up in the community. They'd been there forever. They were just kind of like, you know, blobs that existed there, for lack of a better term. But it does make you wonder, when you have cases like this, and I'm not specifically speaking of this case, but when you have kind of these, you know, people off in the ethers of the community, kind of the dark pockets that are into this sort of stuff, sometimes we think, oh, not that it excuses us, but like that's just those type of people out there. Mm-hmm. That's not always the case. And I'm not accusing anybody higher up in Delphi of being involved in this, but I just want to talk generally. That's not always the case. Like this, this goes up tendrils to people that you may not always expect. And have you seen evidence of that in other cases, in other places where, oh God, yeah, these really scum buckets over here are into it, but guess who they're sharing buddies with?
Yeah, it certainly can happen. I have seen people arrested for kiddie porn that were, you know, pillars of the community that you would never guess. I mean, yeah, I'm thinking of, I won't say how high in the community, but yes, people in the judicial system, very high in law enforcement, and they can be into this sort of thing with really, really sordid, weird, risky behavior going on.
Is it, and I'm just thinking down the dark path here, if you are someone higher up in law enforcement or something of that nature, and again, I'm not accusing anyone in Delphi of doing this. But if you are higher up, there would be a clear advantage if you're into this sort of thing and it's being procured by somebody on the outside, somebody out there in the shadows, to have kind of a quid pro quo relationship of, yeah, you'll provide this for me and I won't go after you, and basically I'll protect you from the dark stuff you're doing over here, because I'm into it too, but it would be too obvious if I were, you know, procuring it or whatever it's called, whatever the hell they're doing.
That would be a heck of a plot for a crime novel, I'm imagining. Would John Grisham or someone write that story? Because that's, yeah.
Well, I mean, it has undertones of, you know, what we had seen, at least the allegations that we've seen over in the Gilgo Beach case with the former sheriff or whatever he was there being involved in a lot of that sort of stuff too. And then somehow Rex Huerman was, you know, going scot-free for quite a long time. And there's allegations that maybe there was some police involvement there of, you know, I'll look the other way, you look the other way, we travel in the same circles. It does make me wonder just how deep this is going to go in the land of Delphi. And it certainly does make a lot of sense if there is a cover-up going on here, why there would be a cover-up going on here, because it makes you wonder, where would investigating Ron Logan further lead to? Where would investigating Keegan Klein further and his connections lead to? It seems they wanted to stop on those two. And, you know, they got Keegan on the child porn charges and stuff. That was pretty evident when they caught that. Ron Logan, they just walked away from. And I don't know that he's ever truly been cleared by the FBI. But why one would just walk away from something that seems to have so many leads to it, so many just sparkling diamonds of, oh my gosh, look at this. This really seems like it could be big to our case, but we're going to say no. Let's go after the CVS guy. It's just it's baffling to me as to where this could go. One other detail on this: he mentioned a box cutter. Ricky did. Ricky Davis did in his letters to McClelland, and also into letters. Now he's sending them to some local media as well. He mentioned the box cutter, though, very, very early on in a letter to McClelland, before this was even public knowledge. I mean, I suppose it could be a random guess that, hey, this is something that was part of the murder scene, but I don't know. It's a kind of specific one for out in the middle of the woods to have knowledge of. Would that not be a bit of a red flag that maybe this guy does know something?
Sure, definitely. That's another reason to look at it closely. And the fact that it wasn't is disturbing.
Too much disturbing going on here in this case. But yeah, thank you for your insight, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. Always great to hear it from you, because this is one that just gets deeper and darker by the day.
The latest true crime stories, expert breakdowns, and shocking twists, all in one place. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill, pets shed, and accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At WashableSofas.com, you'll find the Anabe Sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill, pets shed, and accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at WashableSofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit WashableSofas.com today and save. That's WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill, pets shed, and accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at WashableSofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit WashableSofas.com today and save. That's WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade?
Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.